This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, welcome everyone. Bruchim Abaim to the Kollel Agra DePirka here in cyberspace New York. Okay, so Kew Garden Hills, Five Towns, wherever you may find yourself, welcome to today's Shir. So we have a very interesting subject today, Parshas Re'eh. And Parshas Re'eh is often the parsha that is read before Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh Elul. So even though it seems very far off, but the Yom Naram are approaching, and we're going to try to glean some insight from Parshas Re'eh, how we can appropriately prepare ourselves to have the best outcome in the upcoming year. I think we're all in agreement that we're all hoping the upcoming year will bring us better, more bracha and mazel than the past year. So the Mishnah says in Masechta Rosh Hashanah, "Bi'arba prakim ha'olam nidain." The world is judged on four occasions. B'Pesach al ha'tfu, on Pesach we're judged on the grain, and therefore on Pesach the carbon that is brought is the carbon ha'omer. Ba'atzeres al peiroi se'ilan. On Shavuos, we're judged on the fruits. But Rosh Hashanah, on Rosh Hashanah, Kol Boi Olam Oivrim Lefanav, all those who traverse this world pass before God, Kivnei Maroin, like Bnei Maroin, Shenemar, Hayoitzer Yachad Libam, he fashions their hearts together, Hamevin El Koma Aseyam, he understands all of their actions. So here the Mishnah is telling us that as opposed to on Pesach, where it just says we're judged on grain, as opposed to on Shavuos, where it says we're judged on fruits, on Rosh Hashanah, we all pass before God like B'nai Maroin. And the question is, what are B'nai Maroin? It's a very cryptic expression, a mysterious expression. Shenemar hayoitzer yachad libam hameivin al kol ma'aseihem. And then the Mishnah concludes, V'chag nidoinen alamayim, on Sukkos we are judged on water. And the Gemara on Daf Yud Ches, Amud Aleph, discusses what are Kivnei Maroin? What does this mean? So the Gemara says, "My Kivnei Maroin, Hacha Tirgamu Kivnei Imrana." Here in Eretz Yisrael, they interpret it as Bnei Imrana, like young sheep. Reish Lakish Amar, Reish Lakish says, "Kema'alois Beis Maroin," like the ascent of Beis Maroin. Rabbi Huda Amar Shmuel Kechayolai Shal Beis David. Rabbi Huda, the name of Shmuel, says like the warriors in David's army. Now, what are these various things? Kivnei Imrana. Rashi says Kechvasim, like sheep, Shemoinin Oisan La'asun, that they're being counted for the purposes of Maiser. The Yoitzin Ze Achar Ze, and they walk, they go out of the pen, one after another, B'Pesach Katan, in a small opening. They are not able to go all together. So the interpretation in Eretz Yisrael was kivnei maroin, like young sheep, who when it comes time to take maaser, there's only room for one sheep to go out at a time, so they sort of mosey on down one at a time. But there's not enough room for more than one to go out at a time. That's the mashal of kivnei maroin. Then the Gemara brings the opinion of Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish says, "Kamalos Beis Maroin." What is the Kamalos Beis Maroin? Haderech Katzar. It's a very narrow road. Ve'ein Shnayim Yecholim Leilech Zeh B'Tzad Zeh. They cannot travel one side by side. Sheha'emek Amok Mishnei Tzidei Haderech, because the valley is very steep on both sides. I remember when I was a kid, I went to Amuka, and I'm still traumatized from that trip. Because it was like a two-way road, and the road was smaller than the size of one bus, and there were like two buses, one going up, one going down. And I remember doing tshuva like it was Ne'ila when I was, I don't know, 10 years old, because it was so steep. So that's what it's saying, Kemalos Beis Maroin. This is talking about, you know, in the olden days. Nowadays when people go around the corner, they have to put it in Waze. And then a few years ago, people had a GPS. But back in the day, you used to go to AAA, and if you would, they would print out for you the triptych. Remember that? The triptych? So this also, the ancient times, you want to get directions somewhere, you would go up the steep mountain, and there wasn't enough room for people to travel on the side because the Emek was deep on the two sides of the road. And the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel kechayolois shel beis David. What is that? Kivnei Maroin is kivnei chayolois shel melech Maroin. Maroin is lashon maros va'adnos. And this is how they would count them. They would go out, zeh achar zeh, when they would go out to war. So basically, the general would say, you, Yankel, Beryl, Feivel, you know, Itcha. And they would go one after another, they would line up single file. So we have three interpretations in the Gemara regarding what is Kivnei Maroin. And either it's like sheep coming out of a corral, or it's like going up the ascent of Beis Maroin, or it's like the soldiers in David's army. But all three opinions seem to be saying that the gist of Kivnei Maroin is to teach that on the Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah, God does not judge everybody individually, but instead God judges everybody single file, one by one. And the question that is raised, and this question is raised by none other than Hagoyin Rav Itzhak Peterberg. Rav Itzhak Peterberg, who lived from 1837 to 1907. This question, says Rav Itzhak, he asks in his magnum opus, the Koich Ve'ar, and that is, we know that if Chazal employ a mashal, it's because they're trying to give you an insight or an understanding into a more difficult concept. And here, all the Mishnah seems to be saying is that when God judges us on Rosh Hashanah, He does not do so, all of us together. He does not do so. He does not scan all of Klal Yisrael simultaneously, but instead, He judges us single file, one by one. And the question is, this is not rocket science. If all the Mishnah is saying is that God does not judge Klal Yisrael simultaneously, but instead one by one, so it should say, Barash Hashanah, Kalbay Oilam, Oivrim, Lefanov, Zeh, Achar, Zeh. And I guarantee you, me, in my poor capacity to explain something, would be able to explain to a six-year-old what this means. One after another. This is not rocket science. This is not complex. Chazal, it would seem this would not be the juncture to require a mashal and a parable. A parable is needed to expound and explain something difficult to understand. This is such a simple concept. Why do Chazal need to employ a mashal of Kivnei Maroin? And moreover, we have three Perushim. We have a Machloikis of what Kivnei Maroin means. Does it mean Kivnei Imrana? Does it mean Kemalois Beis Maroin? Or does it mean Kechayalois Shel Beis David? What says Rav Itzhak Peterberg in his great work, Koich Ve'ar? We know Rav Yisrael Salanter had three primary disciples, and they were the Altar of Kelm, Rav Naftali Amsterdam, and of course, Rav Itzhak Peterberg. I believe the Altar of Kelm, he gave him the title Chacham. Rav Naftali Amsterdam, he called him the Chassid, and Rav Itzhak Peterberg was called the Lamden, which is evident by his great work pre-Yitzchak, Shasuchuva's pre-Yitzchak, in which Rav Itzhak, there's a famous story, there was once a convention of Rabbanim that the Beis HaLevi was speaking on at, and the Beis HaLevi offered a very complex question, and then he said, I'm going to tell you over my answer, and the answer of my son Rav Chaim. And first he wanted to see if anybody else had an approach, and Rav Itzhak Peterberg was sitting there, and he was silent, he did not say a word. And afterwards, the Beis HaLevi gave his answer, and he gave over his son's answer. And the Beis HaLevi and other Rabbanim who were there were wondering, is this the great Rav Itzhak Peterberg, who is an acclaimed Lamden? And he sort of had nothing to say during this whole discussion. Later, when they saw the Shas HaTshuvas pre-Yitzchak, they saw in his Sefer the very question of the Beis HaLevi, with the Beis HaLevi's answer, and Rav Chaim's answer. And they realized this was not a lack of insight, but instead, this was the great humility and the Midas Hashtika of Rav Itzhak Peterberg. In fact, just to get a glimpse of the greatness of Rav Itzla Paterberg, if you look at number 24 on your sheet, and if you don't have the sheet, I will scroll down for you. If you look at number 24, Rav Itzla Paterberg, it's brought in the writings of the Chafetz Chaim in the Sefer Chavetz Hashmira. He would say about the importance of remaining silent during the High Holy Days. He says, "B'yomim hanoyraim b'vadei nochayim ma'od l'snayig b'mida ha'kdosh ha'zoi." In the High Holy Days, it is certainly correct to accustom oneself in this holy midah. And in fact, I heard that the tzaddik, Rav Itzla Paterberg, from Rosh Chodesh Elul until Yom Kippur, he did not talk. For 40 days a year, Rav Itzla Paterberg did not speak from Rosh Chodesh Elul until Yom HaKippurim. Says the Chafetz Chaim, obviously we're not on that madriga, but at the very, very least, every Jew has to accept upon themselves not to speak between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Now, I'm not here telling anybody to do that or to say that this is Lufi Madriga Seinu, but just to get a little glimpse of Rav Itzla Paterberg. In fact, his wife had a baby girl, I believe, during the 40 days between Elul and Yom Kippur, and he did sort of go against his rule, and he went over to his wife, and he said the following to his wife. You ready for this? Mazel! And then he said, Toiv. But not more than that. So, that's Rav Itzla Paterberg. But, says Rav Itzla, aside from the fact that this seems to be a very simple concept, that Chazal L'Chairo should not need to illustrate with a mashal, and yet alone, why is it so important for the Chazal to disagree and to argue? What is the precise interpretation of what does it mean? Kivnei Maroin, does it mean Kivnei Imrana? Does it mean Kemalois Beis Maroin? Or does it mean Kechayolois Shel Beis David? So, says Rav Itzla, another question. What we're learning is that Hashem does not judge the world simultaneously on Rosh Hashanah. He does not scan the world together, but instead He judges the world one after another after another. And the question is, why does the Lord do this? Why does Ribbono Shel Olam do this? Certainly Hashem can judge everyone simultaneously at the same time. Why would He have the need to judge everybody one after another after another after another? He certainly has the ability and capability to scan everyone at one time and to determine the outcome of everyone's din. So says Rav Itzla, Amnam hine yisoid hadavar asher kol boi oylam oivrim lefanav. Ze achar ze, yesh lahavino lahaskel tamadavar. We need to understand the reason for this. Mahu tachlis hakavana b'zeh. What is the purpose? Ul'eza matarahu. Hayipalei me Hashem davar. Is it beyond God? Lahavir lefanav es kol boi oylam biyachad. To put everyone together in front of Him at the same time. Says Rav Itzla, there is a very deep intention over here. And this is an illustration of God's endless wisdom and His rachama v'chasad of hagdoilim. That this is a manner in which the Ribbono Shel Olam is able to exercise great mercy and great rachamim and to give us an extra measure of possible source of blessing at this tenuous time. And says Rav Itzla, this is based on the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah on Daf Ches. And that is, the Gemara tells us in Rosh Hashanah on Daf Ches. It says in Tehillim, we say, Tiku b'chodesh shofar, b'kes eliyoyim chageinu, kichoig liyisrael hu, mishpah l'lekei yakoyev. We say, kichoig liyisrael. What does that mean? Melamed sheyisrael nechnasen tchila l'din. God judges the Jewish people before He judges the nations of the world. Why? Kedrev chizda, dam rev chizda, Melech v'tzibor, Melech nechnas tchila. The king and the congregation, the king enters judgment first. Why? Like it says, Mishpat avdoi u'mishpat amoi. The judgment of His servant, Shlomo HaMelech is talking. And he's saying, First God judges me, Shlomo, and then God judges his people. Why does God first judge the king? My time, Iboy Seima Lav Oirach Ara Lameka Malkavroy. Either because it is not Derech Eretz to leave the king outside. If God were to judge the people, then the king would have to be outside. It would not be Derech Eretz to leave the king outside. Or, says the Gemara, V'iboy Seima, or if you want, you could say, Mekame Delefosh Charoin Af, before the anger of God flares up. If God is going to judge the Tzibor first, we're afraid that Tzibor will have so many chataim that God will get angry. He'll be, so to speak, in a bad mood. And then when he judges the king, it's going to be bad news. So therefore, in order for the king to have a better outcome, first God judges the king, and then he judges the people, says Rashi, number 6. Before God gets angry, b'shvil avoinoy sibor, because of the sins of the congregation. As for Vitzel Petterberg, what in the world is going on over here? God judges the king before the people so that Hashem is not angry? You think Hashem only knows about the sins of the people if he judges them first, and if he doesn't judge them first, he doesn't know about them? God knows everything. He doesn't have to conduct a formal adjudication to know the actions of all mankind. God is all-knowing. He's omnipotent, omniscient. He knows everyone's actions even before this procedure. So what does it mean before God gets angry? Hakol goloi v'yadu alafanov, says the great Rebbe Zal Petterberg. Komach shavois adam v'tachbu loisav alilois mitzadei gover. This is the key to understanding how the judgment on Rosh Hashanah works. And that is, God in His infinite wisdom established that the order of operations in the heavens is analogous to, is similar to, follows the paradigm of the judgment in this world. And that is, otherwise, why does God have a day of judgment? He knows what everyone does. He doesn't have to try them. And what God is hearing testimony, and are there prosecutors and defendants? And we know there are. There are malachim who come to prosecute. There are malachim who come to defend. There is a system of judgment. There are mekatrigim. There are sanei goyrim. There's edus. There's signatories. There are court officials. There's an entire procedure. And that is, God established a heavenly system of judgment to parallel the system of this world. Why? I believe it's because God wanted us to be able to relate to the proceedings of the heavens. So therefore, He allows it, as it were, to be conducted as if it would be in earthly proceedings. Now, the way a judge of flesh and blood works, if let's say you have a parking ticket. So in the beginning of the day, when he hears his first decision, he wakes up. The judge started off the day with a custard donut and a jelly donut and a glazed donut and 3 cups of coffee, and 20 cops paid him money. So in his first first cases that come before him, the judge is in a good mood. So you're always better off getting the first couple of cases in the morning. By the middle of the day, the court clerk annoyed the judge. Some cop spilled coffee on the judge. Another cop angered the judge. And the cop's anger is being, you know, his temper is being tested. And in the middle of the day, he's a little perturbed. And watch out if you have a court case at the end of the day, because the judge is irritated. He hasn't had donuts in a long time. He hasn't had coffee in a long time. And now he has to go home where his wife's going to put him in place. So he's really in a bad mood. And don't start up with the judge. Don't stand before the judge at the end of the day. Lehavdil elef alfei avdalais. The same way, the number of cases that a judge adjudicates affects his temperament, mood, and outlook and perspective. Lehavdil elef alfei avdalais. God, as it were, allows himself to be affected by the sins of those who pass before him. So that if somebody God will judge the Jewish people before He judges the nations of the world, because if He was going to judge North Korea or the Americans or whatever, or the Syrians, before He judges the Jewish people, oy va'avoy, what our outcome would be. So first God judges Klal Yisrael. And before He judges Klal Yisrael, He judges the king of Klal Yisrael, so that the king could have a better outcome and a better mood. Because God, as it were, allows Himself to be influenced by the individuals who pass before Him. Says Rav Itzla Petterberg, if God would judge the whole world simultaneously, and a million, a billion, a gazillion, a trillion, even more than the United States debt of money, if God would judge all that sin simultaneously, the judgment would come out, so to speak, b'midas hadin and b'midas hagavura. Because God would see everything simultaneously, and everything would, all the composite of sin, all the collective sins, would collectively influence the din, letzad ha-midas hadin. So God, as it were, does not operate that way. Instead, He has everybody pass before Him, one after another, after another, after another. Says Rav Itzla v'alkein hoysa mechachmasa yizbarach v'racham av hamarubim v'chasod av hagedoylem. It is God's great wisdom, mercy, kindness to pass everyone before Him, ze achar ze, one after another. Because im kol boy oylem oylem vanu akol biyachad, Rav Itzla says in the previous paragraph, if everyone passed before Him simultaneously, and He would scan everyone, vim rabu avoinu saklal lamala rosh v'kol chadom oz yeshan af Hashem shavu saklal, God's wrath would flare. So God, in His infinite wisdom, does not operate that way. Instead, He allows mankind to pass before Him, single file, one after another. This way, yes, the people in the back of the line will not be as fortunate, but at least if you could position yourself in the front of the line, you will be in a much better situation. And Marav Raboisai, every position in the line makes a big difference. The same way, if you go to a pizza store, Matzoi Pesach, which I highly discourage, just wait for the next day. And even better, you don't even have to eat pizza. But if you have to eat it, don't go that night. You go that night, every pie takes 30 extra minutes. Right? Every space that you could get earlier in line makes all the difference in the world. Because, you know, those pies that are coming out, Matzoi Pesach, it's, I don't know what they're doing. Well, they're putting gold in the pizza, but it takes a very long time. So the Lahavdil, when it comes to the line on Rosh Hashanah, every spot that you could move up earlier in the line makes a tremendous difference. After all, the Pasuk says in Mishle, V'chayte taiva chachma mikali kirav, one sin could destroy a lot of good. As the Gemara says in Kedushin, one should view themselves as if they're 50-50. If you do one mitzvah, fortunate are you that you tilted the whole world, lekaf hazchus. You do one avera, woe that you tilted the whole world, lekaf choiva. So since one sin could make a very big difference, and it's very possible that the guy before you doesn't have one sin. He might have a dozen sins. He might have 12, you know, a dozen million sins. So every spot that you could get earlier in the line makes all the difference in the world. So therefore, says Rav Itzla Petterberg, the reason why God allows us to pass before Him single file is in order to have the opportunity to get an earlier spot and a better judgment. And therefore, now the shaila is, the million-dollar question is, how do you get to the front of the line? Because to a large extent, your outcome on Rosh Hashanah will depend on where you are on the line. How do you get to the front of the line? Says Rav Itzla Petterberg, that is the machloikes between the three opinions in the Gemara of what Kivnei Maroin means. Does it mean like young sheep? Does it mean like the ascent of Beis Maroin, or does it mean like the warriors in David's army? And what we're going to learn in the second part of the Shir in one moment is how do we get to the front of the line? So how do you get to the front of the line? That is a $1 million question, and that is the question that is discussed in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah on Daf Yud Ches. Is it Kivnei Imrana? Is it Kamalos Beis Maroin? Or is it Kachayala Shel Beis David? Now, the Gemara tells us in Rosh Hashanah that on the Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah, three books are open. And we're working on a new shir on this subject of what exactly are these books. Mamish Oyem and Oyra, Hashem should give us Siyat Shmaya for the upcoming Yom Naram. One book is of Tzadikim, of Risham Gemurim. One is of Tzadikim Gemurim and one is of Beinanim. Tzadikim Gemurim are written and sealed for life. Risham Gemurim are written and sealed for death. And Beinanim, their judgment is suspended. From Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, if they're Zoicha, they're inscribed for life. If they're not Zoicha, they're inscribed for death. Well, comes the Ran, and the Ran asks the following question. If, let's see if we can read the Ran. The Ran asks, if it says Beinanim, that implies Tzadikim are people who have more mitzvahs than Averos, and Rishaim are people who have more Averos than mitzvahs. And the Ran asks the question that most people would never have the guts to ask. The Ran asks, V'yihacha kasha tuva d'hakama tzadikim shezchuyaseyem merubim me'avanoseyem nechtavim lemisa. Aren't there a lot of righteous people who have more mitzvahs than Averos and they don't make it through the year? V'kama rishayim shavanoseyem merubim nechtavim l'chayim, and many wicked people, they for sure have more averos and mitzvahs, and they're written for life. How could the Gemara say that if you have Beinanim, says the Ran, is 50-50, so tzadikim is 51-49. Ask the Ran, I know a lot of people who are 51-49, they didn't make it through the year, and many of them are better than 51-49. I know a lot of people, says the Ran, who are 49-51 or worse, and they do make it through the year. And therefore the Ran says, a chidosh ayayim v'noira, that when the Gemara says, tzadikim are written for life, and rishayim are written for death, tzadikim are not people who have more mitzvahs than averos, and rishayim are not people who have more averos than mitzvahs, ela ikaron shel dvarim, k'may shekasav Rabbi Yeshaya hazakein mitrani, did tzadikim or rishayim bedin zeh komer. Tzadik just means if you're considered righteous in the outcome of this case. It doesn't mean you're a good guy. It means God decided you're going to live. Rishayim doesn't mean you're a bad guy. You could be a big tzadik. Rasha means you're found guilty in this court case. Tzadik bedin, Rasha bedin. We're not talking about someone who has more mitzvahs than averos or someone who has more averos than mitzvahs. We're talking about somebody who bedin is a tzaddik, or bedin is a rasha. However, what they are, in reality, they may be the opposite. In other words, says the Ran, because there is something called a tzaddik v'raloi and a rasha v'toivloi, we are forced to say that the tzaddikim that are written for life are those who God just decides they're going to live. Why does God decide they're going to live? Because they have some kind of mitzvah that God likes. We're not exactly sure why. It's really none of our business. We don't know why God would take someone who has more mitzvahs than averos and say, well, because of that avera that the person did, they can't be around anymore. We don't know why God would say about someone who has more averos than mitzvahs, because of a certain mitzvah that they did, we're going to keep them around. That's not really our geschäft. Nistere darke Hashem, hanistarei Hashem elokeinu, but that is how it operates, says the Ran. However, Marv Raboisai, comes the Rambam, and the Rambam says, what are you talking about? The Rambam says, the way they taught you that it works in first grade, that is the way it works. Says the Rambam, Kishem She Shkulen Avoinos Adam Zchuliosa B'Shas Misasai. The same way at the end of 120, a person's mitzvahs and averus will be weighed. Kach b'chol shana, so too every year. Shoiklen avoinos kol echad ve'echad mibayoylam. They weigh the averos of everyone in the world. Im zechu yoysav v'yamtav shal Rosh Hashanah. Someone who's a tzaddik will be sealed for life. Someone who's a rosh sealed for death. V'abeinu tzloyim lay ad yom ha-kippurim. The Rambam learns the Gemara kipshutai, that if you have more mitzvahs than averos, you'll make it through Rosh Hashanah. If you have more averos than mitzvahs, you won't. Aye. What does the Rambam do with the Ran's Kasha? Don't we see there are tzaddikim who don't make it through? Don't we see there are Rasham who do make it through? Furthermore, who do we paskin like? Do we paskin like the Rambam or the Ran? Comes Rav Itzel of Petterburg as follows, and Rav Itzel of Petterburg says, "Amnam im ki lefamim gam tzadikim gemurim hein meschayim b'dimnei ezaver kala." Even though that, yes, we could all agree that there are times that a tzadik gemur will be found guilty because of an avera that he did, or a rasha gemur will be found innocent because of a zechus. And that's the kasha of the Ran, but says Rav Itzula, Achein zehurak betur yoytze min haklal. It's the exception to the rule. Yesh tzadik oyved betzidkoi, v'yesh rasha marach berishai. Ulam bederech klal. In general, yesh lanu lahamin. We must believe ki yesoid hadin v'hamishpat b'rosh Hashanah hu bevadai al piroiv. Hamasa. We must believe that the way the judgment works on Rosh Hashanah is God weighs our mitzvahs against averos. Marv Rabbi say, we have to say this. We cannot say that the judgment works just like the Ran. Otherwise, Rosh Hashanah has no meaning to us. Because it really doesn't matter what our ma'isim are. Oh, well, I don't have to try to have more mitzvahs than averos, because anyway, maybe there's an avera that Rosh Hashanah will hone in on. Or I don't have to have more. What difference does it make if I have more averos than mitzvahs? Maybe I have a mitzvah that Rosh Hashanah will enjoy. The answer is, says Rabbi Itzula, we have to believe that the general procedure of the din on Rosh Hashanah is that it goes by majority, that it depends how many mitzvahs versus how many averos. Yes, there are exceptions to the rule. Yes, the Rambam concedes. There's a situation of tzaddik v'raloi. There's a situation of rasha v'toivloi. But that's not the rule, that's the exception to the rule. Now, in general, the way things work is, you listen to the radio and you hear some pop star at age 37 years old overdosed, and you understand what the Rambam's saying. Rak be'einecha sabit v'shilum asu shayim tira, that rishayim don't make it through. Or you hear about big tzaddikim and they live to a ripe old age, oid yenuvan b'seva, that's the general rule. But nobody could say about any individual that that this person is obviously living long because they must be a tzaddik? No, we don't know for sure. Nobody could say this person did not live long because they're rasha, chas v'shalom. There are exceptions to the rule, and nobody knows where anybody fits in. This is something that is beyond the purview of a basar v'dam. But in general, again, the words of Rav Itzel of Petterburg is zehu rak b'tor yoytze min haklal, ulam bederech klal yesh lanu lahamin, that the way it works is the way the Rambam says it works. So Marv Rabbeisai, so far we've learned there are two ways the din operates on Rosh Hashanah, either by majority, or there are mitzvot that find special favor b'inei Hashem, and there are averos that accomplish the opposite. However, there is a third category, and that is the category of there are situations which are beyond human comprehension, where you could have a perfect tzaddik and they could not make it through. Or you could have an absolute rasha and the Ribbono Shel Olam could save them and give them life and success. And this is something that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to understand. If you look at number 21 on the sheet, Moshe Rabbeinu asked Ribbono Shel Olam. Moshe asked Hashem, could you please reside your Shechina on Klal Yisrael? And Hashem said, yeah. Moshe said, don't reside on the nations of the world. Hashem says, you got it. Moshe said, Hoydieni Nas Derachecha, teach me your ways. And God said, sorry. And Rav Meir says this is something that Moshe Rabbeinu did not understand. This is what God says, V'chanoisi es asher achoin, v'richamti es asher rachim. So this is a third category of judgment that is beyond human comprehension. It's not even that there's a certain mitzvah that the tzaddik, that the person did, that God says, okay, I'll show them favor because of that mitzvah. It's not even that there might be a small avera that the tzaddik did that Hashem punishes for. It is literally not within human comprehension to understand how this operates. So really, Rav Yitzchak says there are three procedures of judgment. There's the standard procedure of Hakol Lefi Rov Hamasa. There is a more innovative procedure, which God will hinge based on a certain mitzvah or a certain avera. And then there is V'chanoisi es asher achoin, v'richamti es asher rachim. Says Rav Yitzchak Peterberg, the same way there are three types of judgment on Rosh Hashanah, there are likewise three ways to get to the front of the line. There are also three ways to get to the front of the line. And says Rav Yitzchak, the three ways to get to the front of the line, parallel the three ways with which the judgment works on Rosh Hashanah. Namely, says Rav Yitzchak, one way is you could get there based on your own merit. Another way is you could get there based on some kind of mysterious zuchus that Hashem may find favor with. And the third way is mysterious. It's beyond human comprehension. It's something we cannot understand. And these three ways parallel perfectly the three manners of judgment. And let's explain as follows. Says Rav Yitzchak, these three mishalim parallel the three ways. Let's talk for a moment about the Bnei Maron, the Bnei Imrana, the young sheep. If you're a farmer, you're a shepherd, and you have a corral of sheep, and you're opening up that pen for the sheep to come out so you could label them and count them for Meiser. Which sheep will come out first of the corral? Which sheep? The answer is, it's the strongest sheep, the biggest sheep, the one with the strongest muscles, the one that would go, meh, and, you know, mosey his way on down, push away, muscle his way. He's the biggest, he's the strongest, he's the most powerful, and he will push his way to the front of the line. Well, what does this represent, says Rav Yitzchak? This represents the tzaddikim. What are tzaddikim called? Shimu Eli, the pasuk says, Abire Lev. Listen to me, you mighty-hearted people. Harachoikim mitzdaka, who are distanced from tzedakah. Who are distanced from tzedakah? The answer is, Rav Ushmov, Amri Rabbi Yochim Rav Laz, Chad Amri, Kol Oilam, Kol Yizam, Mitzdak, Mitzdak, Mitzdak. These are tzaddikim that the world is sustained because of God's charity. They're not sustained because of God's charity. They're sustained in the honor of their own, in their own merit, in their own zuchus. They're mighty. They're strong. Likewise, when that corral opens up for people to stand online on Rosh Hashanah, who's going to go first? Not the weaklings. Asher karcha baderech vayizanecha hanecheshalim. Necheshalim are chaseri koyach machmas chatam. When God creates the line on Rosh Hashanah, who's going to go first? The ones with the big mitzvah muscles. The ones who have a lot of mitzvahs. The ones who are spiritually powerful. Not the weaklings who are chaserei koyach because of their chataim and because of their deficiencies. So if you want to get to the front of the line, the same way when God judges on Rosh Hashanah, it's based on roiv maisa. When God opens up the line, it's the strong tzaddikim that will power their way to the front of the line and through their own merit deserve a better spot. Now, Marv Raboisai, this is not going to do that much for us. Because as we're getting closer to the Yom Naran, you tell a guy, oh, you want a good spot on the front of the line? Be a tzaddik. So the guy says, oh, it's so easy, huh? If I was a tzaddik, I wouldn't need a front spot on the line. I would do well even if I didn't have a front spot on the line. And if I'm not a tzaddik until now, not so easy all of a sudden if somebody's been doing averus the whole year to become a tzaddik. So this mashal of Kivnei Imrana is not going to do that much for us, because those who are already tzaddikim, they're pretty confident that they'll have roiv mitzvahs in the din. And to become a tzaddik at the end of the year, this is not the most practical of advice. Then, of course, we have the third kind of judgment. And that is, we said on Rosh Hashanah, God mysteriously may give somebody a year of life. And that's beyond anyone's understanding. We cannot climb into the mind of the Almighty and understand why He gives to some and doesn't give to others. Well, the mashal that is analogous to this is the warriors in David's army. So the general would say like this, Yankel, Beryl, Fivel. Does anybody have any idea why the general shouted his name first, and that guy second, and this guy third, and him fourth? To our eyes, it looks like without rhyme or reason. Likewise, sometimes God wants to give someone a good year, so He'll save him a good spot on the line, or sometimes God will decide not to give someone a good year and He'll put him on the back of the line. But we don't really know why, so it's not going to do anything for us. It will not be of any benefit for us to understand that there is a system where, the same way on Rosh Hashanah, God just may, what seems arbitrary to us, obviously Ribbono Shel Olam as a cheshbon, likewise Ribbono Shel Olam will, what seems to be random, put somewhere in a certain spot, well, that's not really that helpful to us. So the system of the Rambam, of Hakol Lefi Roiv HaMaisa, to get an earlier spot online, not going to help us that much. The system of V'chanoisi Es Asher Ocha and V'richamti Es Asher Rachem is not going to be that helpful to us. But what will be very helpful to us is the middle system of judgment. The same way on Rosh Hashanah, you could have someone with roiv averois, but they may have a particular mitzvah that finds favor in the eyes of Hashem, and they will live, and they'll be a tzaddik bedin. Or someone may have roiv mitzvahs, but they may have a particular avera that does not find favor in the eyes of Hashem, and Hashem will not save them. Then likewise, there are certain zechusim that even if someone is mostly averois, that the person may have a specific zechus that Hashem will say, okay, I'll give the guy a front seat on the line. Or a person may have a specific chait that God will say, even though he's a tzaddik, I'm going to put him on the back. And the question is, what is this mysterious wild card zechus? That even if someone is, let's say, roiv avoinois, he could still get an early spot on the line. So, I'll illustrate with a joke. Now, in the middle of a shir, you're not supposed to say a joke. Only maybe in the beginning of the shir or the end of the shir. But in our shir, we're always beginning. Every time we start something, it's the beginning. So the joke is like this, but it's really a mashal. I once heard from my father, so there's this electronics store opening in Texas. You know this story? And they say the first customer who lines up at the store's opening will get a free big screen. So of course, There are thousands and thousands of people lining up to be at the opening of this electronics store. Even though only the first guy is going to get the big screen, but people are camping out there for days. And the first guy on the line is this big 6'4" burly Texan guy with a 10-gallon hat. And he's all proud that he's the first one on the lawn. He says to everyone, "I've been waiting here all night. No one's getting ahead of me." So it's 5 to 9. The store is about to open. And this little Yiddish guy is, you know, meandering his way up to the front of the line. And the Texan's looking at him. And the Jew starts to try to, you know, get around him. And the Texan says, "I've been waiting here all night. I'm not letting you get ahead of me." The Jew ignores him. He's heading to the front of the line. The Texan says, "If you try that again, you Jew boy, I'm going to knock you to the ground. I've been waiting here all night. I don't let this Jew get ahead of me." The Jew ignores him. He heads to the front of the line. The Texan picks him up. He punches him out in the face. He knocks him to the ground. And the Jew does what we Jews do best. He dusts himself off. He picks himself up. And he continues to the head to run. And there's a big altercation. The police come. They turn to the Texan. They say, "Texan, what's going on?" He says, "I've been waiting here all night. I don't let this Jew boy get ahead of me." They turn to the little Jew. They say, "And what's your story?" He said, "If that guy knocks me one more time, I don't open the store." Okay, there you go. So that's the yesod of today's shir. What is the zuchus to get to the front of the line? Says Rav Itzel Petterberg, that's the second mashal. The second mashal is kemalois beis marayin, like the ascent of beis marayin. Who gets up the mountain first? If you want the triptych, who gets the ticket first? I remember I learned this piece in Rav Itzel Petterberg. I was 15 years old. I had an excellent Rebbe, Rav Eliyahu Meza Shlita. So this piece Rav Itzel is Gersa de Yankusa. Who gets up the Kemalois Beis Marayin? You know who gets the triptych first? First come, first serve. Not the big tzaddikim. It's as simple as that. Whoever gets to the mountain first gets the ticket first. Who gets the pizza first, Matzah Shabbos? It's not the tzaddikim. Just the opposite. It's the people who ran out of Mariv in the middle of Hashkiveinu and they said they'll daven Shmoneh Esrei tomorrow night. They're going to get the pizza first. Why? Because it's first come, first serve. So too, in terms of getting to the front of the line for the din of Rosh Hashanah, it's first come, first serve. The earlier you start preparing yourself for the din of Rosh Hashanah, the earlier you position yourself on the line. Even if you're not a tzaddik, even if you're roiv averois, many people will be in the country. Many people won't come back and think about Elul until midway through Elul. Many people won't think about it until Slichos. Many people won't think about it until the shul says if you don't pay membership, you're not going to have seats for Rosh Hashanah. Many people won't start thinking about Yom Noraim until they do Kaparas, until Ne'ilah. The earlier you begin, before Yom Kippur, before Rosh Hashanah, before Slichos, Rosh Chodesh Elul! Says Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, famously adjures us that the moment we hear the shofar in Chodesh Elul, we should galvanize ourselves. We should awaken ourselves. We should start to prepare ourselves and recognize that the earlier we get ourselves together and put ourselves in the framework to start feeling the Emas Hadin and recognizing that the whole year is dependent on our preparation for the Yamim Habam Lekraseinu. The earlier we prepare, the earlier will our spot be on the line. Even if we're not a tzaddik, even if we don't have the requisite zechusim, this is the mystery zechus. with which the Ribbono Shel Olam finds favor to put and position somewhere someone early on in the line. I have a sefer over here. Shar Elul. We know that if a person experiences stimuli and he does not move, he actually ruins that sense. And therefore, how important are the opening moments of Tkiyah Shofar and Chodesh Elul? And a person has to take advantage of it and waken themselves up. Now, even if you don't start Rosh Chodesh Elul and you start a few days in or a few weeks in, don't think it's too late. It's not true. Every moment that you do before Rosh Hashanah has tremendous value. But alachas kama v'kama, if a person begins already Rosh Chodesh Elul, so he's like waiting at the door of the pizza store, Matzoi Pesach, ready to be the first one on the line, to get to the front as soon as the judgment begins. So really, says Rav Itzel Pettenberg, the three manners of judgment that occur on Rosh Hashanah, Hakol Lefi Roiv Hamasa of the Rambam, the special zuchus that could give a person extra favor of the Ran, or the seemingly arbitrary system that is known only to Ribbono Shel Olam, parallels the three ways to get to the front of the line. The Rambam system of Hakol Lefi Roiv Hamasa parallels Kivnei Imrono, like the young sheep. The system of the V'chanoisi Asashar Achon V'chamti Asashar Rachim parallels the K'chayolois based David, the soldiers in David's army. But both of these two extremes don't really help us too much. What are we going to say? Be a tzaddik to get a front spot on the line? We're a little bit too late for that. To have this arbitrary system, that we're not privy to how that operates. It is the middle system of the Ran, which Ribbono Shel Olam sometimes hones in on a particular zechus, that parallels the procedure of Kimalois Beis Maroin, the ascent to Beis Maroin, that who gets the triptych first? It's the one, it's first come, first serve. So Marv Rabbeisai, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, come on, everybody knows this piece in Rav Itzel. Everybody knows that to get a good judgment, the very important way is securing a front spot on the line. So everybody, as soon as Rosh Chodesh Elul begins, the moment that shofar is blown, they're going to be pouncing on the opportunity to do tshuva just to get a good spot. So you'll say, and even if everybody knows it, maybe they'll start the first day of Elul when they don't blow shofar yet to try to get the edge. So Marv Rabbeisai, Lekavod Kol Elul Agra de Pirka, I'm going to give you a tip that not everybody knows, and this will help us immeasurably, Bezos Hashem, in this particular journey. And that is the comments of the great tzaddik, the tzaddik of Ranana, Hagoyin HaTzaddik, Rabbi Yitzchak HaKohen Huberman, the author of Ben LaAshri Bracha Meshuleshes. He was never blessed with children. He was a great mekubal. The Ger Rebbe used to go study his practices. And he was never blessed with children. He was a chavrusa of my great-grandfather in Yeshiva Chachmei Lublin. He was a resident of the city of Sachachov. And he writes, Hinei Moiser Oid Moida, that I commit myself, Bli Neder, that anyone who looks in my sefer and says over my Divrei Torah to others, that I will pray for them that they should be saved from every tzara, Ba'olam Hazeh u'Ba'olam Haba. So ready for this? Says the Tzaddik of Ranana. We know that Shoyalin V'Darshin Lamed Yoyim Kaidim Achag. We know we have to prepare for Yom Tov 30 days before. So, technically speaking, how long before Rosh Hashanah do we need to prepare for Rosh Hashanah? 30 days before. We need to be Doiresh Rosh Hashanah 30 days before. Like all Yomim Tovim. But the Torah is saying, don't settle for that. Don't only start 30 days before. What do we read in this week's Parashah, Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Hey? L'shechnai sidre shuv asashama. L'shechnai, in its neighbor, sidre shuv, you should seek out, and you should come there. What does this mean? Says Rav Huberman, even though Elul is 30 days before Rosh Hashanah, don't settle on Elul. Lo yichake adam ad Elul, ela l'shichnai, the neighbor of Elul, which is Chodesh Av, which is the Shachin of Elul, Sidrashu, Bidoyresh, the Inyone Tshuva, and then Ubasa Shama, and then when Rosh Hashanah comes, you will get to the desired goal. So yes, everybody knows Rav Itzhala, and everybody's waiting to do tshuva next Thursday and Friday. So you're saying, if I start when they blow the shofar, I'm going to be with everybody else. No, that's why you came to this year. Now we're learning, don't wait for Elul. You want to really get to the front of the line? Today, in the middle of Chodesh Av, when nobody's thinking about tshuva, everybody's thinking about, I don't know what. What are they going to do before Elul starts? When is camp going to be over? When is school going to start? Is there going to be school this year? Is it going to be Zoom school? Is it going to be, who knows what everybody's thinking about? Now's the opportunity to reserve your spot on the front of the line. Don't wait for Chodesh Elul. L'shichnai, the neighbor of Elul, Sidrashu, seek out the ways of tshuva, Ubasa Shama, and then you will get to your desired goal. And therefore, Rav Gamliel Rabinovich, in his Sefer, he is merames that the Chodesh Av, Av stands for Elul Ba, the month of Elul is coming. So even though we're still a ways away, but if we begin the process of tshuva now, regardless of whether we're a big sheep, a small sheep, a medium-sized sheep, let's not wait for that. Let's take advantage of the possibility of the procedure of kechayolei space, kemaloi space maroin. We get to the mountain first, we get a good spot in the line, and in that zechus Ribono Shel Olam should be mevarech all of us, bezos Hashem. We know that once Tu B'Av comes, you could wish somebody a kesiva v'chasima toiva. So in the merit of our early preparation for the Yom HaDin, Ribono Shel Olam should be mevarech all of us with a gezunta yar, a mazel tik yar, a year of good health, bracha v'atzlacha, v'malei Hashem kol mishal seinu l'toiva. Shkoyach everyone, have a great day.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.